Welcome to Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans, a ministry dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, inspiring, educating, and equipping believers to care for vulnerable children, and supporting those who have heard and heeded the call of James 1:27. Here's your host, Sandra Flack.
Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. That is Colossians 4:2. And I believe it's a fitting verse to open this last episode of Orphans No More for National Adoption Month. This week is also Thanksgiving. If you listen to these podcasts in order and are a regular follower, then you would be listening the week of Thanksgiving 2020. So we're going to focus on prayer, having an alert mind, and a thankful heart, all based on Colossians 4:2. I'm your host, Sandra Flack, and I thank you for joining us today for this episode number 248. Now, I always like to begin by checking in with you. We are at the end of November 2020, and here where I live in upstate New York, COVID cases are on the rise. My county has experienced an increase in COVID case numbers, and New York State keeps clamping down with restrictions, including limiting the number of people allowed to gather in homes to 10 people. And that's a bit challenging if you have a large family like mine. And I have my husband and I, as many of you know, if you follow regularly, we have 8 children, 5 through adoption. Most of them are older, our youngest. They range in ages from 31 down to 5. 3 of them are married. We have 5 grandchildren. They all live nearby. And we all gather together on a regular basis. So we're kind of already all exposed to one another. And some of my kids, adult children, work all together in our family business with my husband. So, you know, being told you can't gather seems sort of, you know, not applicable to us because we're together all the time already anyway. But I'm not reckless. You know, we do what we're supposed to do. And now with my dad, who just turned 85 on November 4th, he's been in assisted living for a little over a year and was doing really well. And we're not able to take him out for the holiday. We're not able to go in and see him in his facility. He's not able to leave there with us. And we understand that, right? I get the fact that that's a very vulnerable population. So we're going to honor those guidelines there. And we've been able to sort of see him in person along the way, just at least outside from a distance, because every other week I go and drop off some essentials to him, and he likes to sit outside if it's a sunny day. So I usually, you know, stand more than 6 feet away, and I wear a mask and he wears a mask, and I just sort of drop the stuff off and chat with him, you know, from the parking lot. But it's worked because I've at least been able to see him in person, even if it's, you know, from a distance away, and know that he's happy and he's healthy and he's doing really well. But we can't have him for Thanksgiving. You know, we can't take him out for the holiday. And I understand that. But really, last year, we had no idea that that would really be the last year we would celebrate Thanksgiving with him, and probably Christmas, not because he's passed on, but because we can't take him out. He can't go out. So it's challenging for everybody in various ages and stages, right? So what's going on where you live? How are you coping with this, you and your family? How are you doing? How are your kids doing? I like to check in with you. I share what's going on at my house with you because I do want to know how you are doing. We're in the trenches together. I always say that. Many of our listeners are foster and adoptive parents or those who maybe are doing some research to become foster and adoptive parents. And, you know we have quite a few folks who listen because they just love to tune in and hear God stories, right? So we love all of our listeners, but most of you are foster and adoptive parents, moms in the trenches, on the journey, and are tuning in for inspiration, encouragement, that kind of thing. We're here for you, and I do want to hear from you. So please reach out. You can find us on our social media at Justice for Orphans. We're on Facebook and Instagram. You can go to our website and contact us that way at justicefororphansny.org, or you can email me directly. I check my email frequently every day, all throughout the day, and that would be Sandra Flack, JFO@gmail.com. So, you know, drop me a line. I would love to hear from you. So I often talk about FASD on this show as a mom of 8 kids. Like I said, 5 through adoption. 2 are diagnosed with FASD. We suspect it in a couple of others. I understand the hard days of this journey. And since 70% of children in the U.S. foster care system have been exposed to alcohol in the womb, and those numbers are very similar to children adopted internationally, especially from Eastern Europe, I believe it's imperative that we talk about FASD on this show. And that's why I share places to find resources if you're parenting a kid with FASD, or even if you just suspect an FASD. But I don't want to paint a picture of doom and gloom when it comes to adoption or foster care and children with brain-based disabilities. Yes, it's hard, but it's also adoption and foster care, when you step into this as a parent caring for a child, it's the gospel in action. It's redemption. It's worth it. And we're not alone in this journey. God is in it with us, and we have each other. So today, I'm going to begin by sharing some things I'm thankful for, and which I'd never have the privilege of sharing had we not adopted our kids. So I'm really focusing on that scripture that I opened with from Colossians 4:2. Let me read it again. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. And I'm going to unpack it backwards. I'm going to start with a thankful heart, then back up to having an alert mind, and then I'll end with prayer. So first of all, last month, my family celebrated the marriage of our daughter, Melissa, to her husband, Corey. Missy was the first child God placed into our family through adoption. She was a relative of mine, came to us at the age of 8, way back in the olden days of 1999. We got legal custody of her, but back then, adoption was not on our radar. We just said yes to a little girl in need, and that yes led to our first adoption, which led to adopting 4 more children, and here we are today with Justice for Orphans and Care Portal and this podcast and all of that. But we wouldn't be here today had we not said yes way back then. But we had many turbulent years with Missy. Again, back in 99, we didn't know about adoption trauma. We didn't know FASD, attachment, connection instead of correction, TBRI, or any of those other things. I wasn't even looking for those resources or for any kind of help. I didn't know what I didn't know, as our friend Jane Schooler says. And we used all the wrong parenting tools and struggled as adoptive parents. We thought we knew what we were doing because we were pretty decent parents to 3 biological kids, right? So we kind of knew what we were doing. We were doing okay with them. So we just applied those same parenting techniques and strategies with this 4th child that came into our family. And we gave her the same privileges and the same opportunities, but also the same expectations and the same forms of discipline. And she struggled. And by the grace of God, we made it through, but not without scars. Yes, our lack of trauma training and FASD education, the not knowing what we didn't know, did further damage. Now, we have a decent relationship with our daughter today, 21 years later, but it could have been so much better along the way for us as parents, and especially for her as the kid. Things things could be better. Things could be different. Now, today, she's 30, and she's in a much better place in life than she's ever been before. She's happy, which is the most important thing. She's employed. She's married. She's successful in her life. My husband got to walk her down the aisle, and our whole family celebrated. It was the best day ever. And I'm thankful for our daughter's success in spite of our poor parenting. I'm grateful for her grace toward us and for her happiness. So that is one big thing I'm grateful for from 2020. It was a crazy year, but there are gems that we can mine along the way, right? Another blessing I am grateful for is my son Andre and his wife Lauren and their baby daughter. 2020, a year full of difficulties, but one shining light has been my new granddaughter, Raya. She is a ray of sunshine, like I like to say. And adoption activates generational blessings. And I'm seeing the fruit of that. Andre is the oldest of the four siblings we adopted from Ukraine. He was almost 10 when we brought him home in early 2007. He has been a blessing since day one. And people always compliment us on him and his behavior and his personality and what a great guy he is. But really, I don't think we can really take hardly any credit for that because he came that way. He came a pretty amazing young man at age 10. And he's been a blessing ever since. He's smart, talented. He can fix anything. And I mean, he got married and moved out. And that was sort of sad for us because anytime I need something fixed, whether it be something electrical or something on my computer or whatever, he always would fix it. And now I have to wait till he comes and visits, which he does do. He does still take care of us. But he's married and he and his wife, Lauren, are awesome parents. So Raya was born back in January 2020. And just the way that he dotes on Raya, he's a hands-on dad. That baby is one of the happiest babies I have ever seen. She knows she is precious and loved. And I get to be her Mimi and soak up her joyous, happy little presence. And she is another blessing. She is the next generation and one that would not have existed without us saying yes to adoption. So yes, it's hard, but it is oh so worth it. So those are just two of the many, many blessings that I can say that I am grateful for. Number one, I'm grateful because of adoption, because we said yes, even walking through the hard stuff, but also in 2020, which has been such a difficult year for all of us. These are two blessings that I am grateful for that happened in the midst of 2020, believe it or not. Now back to our verse from Colossians 4, verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Now I've just shared my thankful heart part. Now let's talk about having an alert mind. To be alert means to be able to think clearly, to be intellectually active. So for adoptive and foster parents, I believe we need to be alert, to be educated and trained in the area of childhood trauma and whatever capital letter syndrome your child may be diagnosed with or you might suspect, whether it be ADHD, ADD, SPD, FASD, and so on. You get the point. Whatever may be going on with your kid, you need to be the expert in that thing because you are the expert on your kid. So I focus a lot on FASD on this show for several reasons. First of all, 70% of children in foster care have been exposed to alcohol in the womb. 2 to 5% of all babies born in the United States have an FASD. 2 of my 5 adopted children are diagnosed with FASD. I suspect it in a couple others. And there's just not enough awareness out there in the general community, whether it be schools, even when child welfare agencies are training potential foster parents, it's barely given a passing glance. Pediatricians, people just don't really know. It's improving because there's a lot of awareness and there's a lot of podcasts now and there's a lot of resources out there. I've discovered many resources lately as I've been intentionally seeking them out. I want to be alert and educated on this topic because I live with it every day and always will. And if you're new to this podcast, please check out some of our recent episodes to learn more about this. I regularly listen to other podcasts myself, podcasts that are FASD specific, meaning FASD is the really only topic discussed. And some of those shows, two of those shows are FASD Success with Jeff Noble and FASD Hope with Natalie Vecchione, both of whom have been guests on this podcast, Orphans No More, recently. And I've also been sharing some of the 50 FASD facts on episodes lately. I usually cover a few in each episode, and they're from the FAFASD.org website. And that stands for Families Affected by FASD. And these facts can be found at FAFASD.org/50facts. And I will post a link in the show notes so you can find them easily if you forget or if I confused you when I messed up saying it. But today I want to share a few more of the facts. We left off with fact number 14, so that's where we're going to begin today. And FASD fact number 14 is confabulation. Confabulation is when the brain fills in gaps of understanding or of memory. To the outsider, it sounds like lying, fabrication, or fantasy. To the person who is confabulating, it seems real. They believe what they're saying. It is not purposeful deception. Confabulation is common for many people who have an FASD. Some helpful strategies for caregivers. Caregivers should educate the person with the FASD about confabulation, but also his or her support system, other family members, siblings, teachers, those working regularly with the kid, because it can come into play in everyday conversations. I have experienced confabulation specifically with one of my older kids who's now an adult, undiagnosed, but with almost every FASD symptom. And when this kid was younger, the behavior, honestly, I confess, annoyed me a little bit because I knew what they were saying was not true. Or maybe they were too young to remember the details of what they were saying and I knew they must be making it up. I knew it didn't happen or it didn't happen exactly the way they were telling it. And I'm not talking, you know, bad things like I didn't believe if they were telling me they were abused or something, not that kind of thing, but just it could be a harmless story of, you know, something that happened 3 years ago on Christmas and the kid has got so many details to the story that just never happened or didn't happen exactly that way. But that's how they were remembering it. And I would see it and I would think to myself, they're making that up. Well, now I understand confabulation and I extend great grace. I realize they're just trying to fill in gaps with things that seem real to them. In general conversations, it's pretty harmless. I suppose it could be harmful in different situations, but that's why we need to be alert. We need to be aware. We need to understand they're not purposely lying or being deceitful. Their brain is just filling in the gaps for them. And we need to have some patience, extend some grace, not necessarily call them out and say you're lying or you can't remember that. Just in some cases, I just honestly roll with it. Like, yep, that person, you know, did get that for Christmas that year, even though maybe they didn't, whatever the case may be. Okay, fact number 15, FASD fact number 15. One factor that leads to more positive outcomes for people with FASDs is qualification for developmental disability supports. We've known this for 20 plus years. As of 2018, not a single state in the United States uses a diagnosis of the FASD spectrum as a qualifier for developmental disability supports. In many states, this is not the case for certain other developmental disabilities like autism. Okay. In other words, FASD is less commonly known and understood. Almost everyone has heard of autism. There's bumper stickers and there's Autism Awareness Day. I mean, now there is an FASD Awareness Day also too, but everybody kind of knows, at least has heard the word autism, but hardly anybody really seems to know what an FASD is. In my opinion, other capital letter syndromes get slapped on to kids who actually have an FASD. My son's IEP labels him as other health impaired. It also says ADHD on there, but he's been diagnosed by a developmental pediatrician as having an FASD. So honestly, I'm not well educated when it comes to obtaining developmental disability supports, whether it be in the way of money supports or being able to get things like respite and things from the outside brought in. And I do know families with kids with various different disabilities, and some of them also who are FASD, who have obtained those supports. And that's key. That's crucial. I'm not really good with paperwork. I get like hives. But the kids go get the mail and they bring it to me and I start thinking, oh no, because usually that means I have to do some kind of paperwork, pay bills, file something away, make a phone call, that kind of thing. That is not my gifting, people. If you listen to this show, you may have realized, I always tell everybody my spiritual gift is the gift of gab. I'll talk in front of 1,000 people, but please don't make me do administration. Please. You don't want me doing your administration. So filling out paperwork for this kind of thing, because there's a lot of paperwork involved from what I understand, I just kind of have kept it on the back burner. But I have been starting to seek out for my youngest son some supports. I realize that it's imperative for him to have many of these supports in place for his future, right? Because my husband and I may not always be there. He has to have everything he needs. So I'll keep you posted as I navigate through this new territory for me. Like I said, I hate paperwork. I've enlisted some help from the folks over at Adoption Navigation in Albany. So they're going to help me starting in January to sort of go through that checklist and start completing what I have to do. So stay tuned to future episodes as I share about my progress with that. I'm telling you now, maybe it'll help me be accountable, right, to get it all done. And if you've walked down that path, filling out that paperwork, getting services and different supports for your FASD kiddo, please let me know. I could use your help. You could be my cheerleader. Give me some pointers. Tell me what I got to do as I go along. But that is something I'm heading in the direction of in the new year. So, okay, our last FASD fact for today's episode is FASD fact number 16. A primary characteristic of FASD is developmental dysmaturity. Children and adolescents with FASD often experience a significant developmental difference from their same-aged peers. Developmental dysmaturity looks like immaturity. It can look like acting like a baby, you know, where you want to say act your age, but it is really a brain-based symptom of FASD. It can impact social situations. Try that, saying that 5 times. It can impact social situations, communication, and life skills. It may mean prolonged adolescence or the need to parent and or support the person well into legal adulthood and beyond. Yes, yes, and yes, welcome to my world. Probably yours too, I'm guessing. With our oldest daughter, the one who just recently got married, not diagnosed, but dysmaturity nails it. We thought it was immaturity. And once I learned about the impacts of trauma on the brain, I did attribute the immaturity to trauma. I always kind of thought whatever age a kid was when they experienced childhood trauma, they sort of stay at that age emotionally for a long time. And that might be partly true, but in every one of my FASD kiddos, diagnosed or not, dismaturity is a daily reality. It's a challenge for parents with a 16-year-old who wants the privileges of a 16-year-old, but developmentally, they're more like a 10-year-old, and you have to parent them like they're 10, but they know they're 16, and it often leaves parents and the kid frustrated. It's hard, especially if you have a kid who's the same age as the kid with an FASD. Biologically, they're the same age, but the dismaturity is happening in the FASD kiddo, but they both want to have, the FASD kiddo wants to be able to do whatever their same age sibling is able to do, but that sibling, whether it be a biological child or just a kid with not with the FASD, not having the dismaturity problem, it's a challenge for parents to navigate that. It's tricky. So strategies recommended by the FASD website. Strategies with dismaturity: acceptance and understanding. Give the person with an FASD expectations that match their developmental age. Adjust the environment to match what they can do. Now, we want them to be successful, but giving them responsibilities based on their physical age only sets them up for failure if their developmental age is way younger. So giving an 18 or even a 20-year-old with an FASD a credit card or a checkbook is a recipe for disaster if they only if they're only like 12 years old developmentally. Before we understood FASD, one of our adult kids had trashed their credit by the time they were 21. This was partly due to dismaturity, but also the difficulty with abstract concepts like money, car insurance, things like that. Now, the abstract concept challenge is actually an FASD fact number 21 that we're going to get to in a future episode, but that plays in here too. It sort of is a double whammy, so to speak. For now, if you'd like to check out all 50 facts, again, you can go to FASD.org/50facts. I'll also post the link, like I said, in the show notes for this episode. Okay, going back to Colossians 4:2, again, it says, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. I started this episode sharing some things that I am thankful for. And we just discussed having an alert mind, how to be educated in specifically the area of FASD. And now I would like to close us out in prayer. Friends, I want to pray for you, for our children, because that's key. I want to help hold your arms up in this journey. So let me just take a moment here to pray for you. Father God, I come before you, Lord. I thank you for our listeners, for parents who have said yes to you and are fostering or who have adopted. And now we are parenting children with trauma histories and very likely with brain-based disabilities. I lift up their weary arms to you. I know, God, that you will never leave us or forsake us. You created our children and placed them in our families. And we look to you, God, to equip us and guide us along this journey. Sometimes it's a very long journey of parenting them into adulthood. For some of us, it's going to go through adulthood. Infuse us, God, with faith and endurance and the education we need and every provision we need to parent according to our kids' needs. Reveal to us their unique God-given purpose and talents and abilities. Help us to call out what you put in them when you created them. Show us how you want us to parent them. Give us the grace to do it for your glory. Protect our kids. Give them the ability to make wise choices, to be able to self-regulate, to become kind, responsible citizens. You place them in our family. We place them in your hands. We pray they will walk with you, O God, for your glory and for your kingdom purposes. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so next week, as we enter the last month of 2020, praise the Lord, I will begin a four-part series on Advent to bring us through the month of December. I did a similar series last year, and it was very popular with our listeners. So I'll continue to weave adoption stories throughout each episode, and I'll keep sharing the FASD facts. But each week, we're going to focus on a different aspect of Advent: hope, peace, joy, and love, all of which we could all use throughout the Christmas season, especially this 2020 COVID version of the Christmas season. So I hope you will join us next week as we kick it off with an episode about hope, something we all could use, right? I also want to mention again about, I mentioned this last week, but I just started recording with Kathleen Guire, and it's so much fun. Her podcast is called Positive Adoption, and it's a 15-minute coffee break podcast. Kathleen Guire is the host. She's also a very experienced adoptive mom, and she's a TBRI parent trainer like I am. That's where I met Kathleen. We both did the TBRI parent training together several years back. So we became buddies. She's an author, blogger, podcaster, teacher, amazing. She does trainings that you can watch online that you can sign up for. They're for foster and adoptive parents. So she invited me to collaborate with her on several episodes of her podcast, which will be coming out starting in January. And I'll share this on our social media in different places so that you don't miss it in case you forget. We're going to be discussing five things adoptive and foster parents should know. I think we unpack way more than five things, but key topics that we're on. We're doing one topic for each episode. They're short 15-minute episodes, so they're fun episodes to listen to while you're brushing your teeth or taking your shower or whatever you do. So I'll just stay tuned for that. I'll keep everybody updated for when they're out, but they'll be out in January. And I thank you for joining us for this episode of Orphans No More. I'm thrilled to have you along for the journey. If you were inspired by today's show, please subscribe and leave a review. We really need some reviews, guys. We only have one review. It's an excellent review, but we only have one. And I just learned myself how to leave a review on a podcast. I never knew how to do it before. You have to kind of go to the main page for the podcast and scroll all the way down to the bottom. And then finally you get to this place where you can, you know, pick if you're going to give it 1 star or 5 stars, and then you can leave a comment and actually say what you love about the show or whatever. So please leave us a review, because when you leave a review, especially those positive reviews, we get more people to listen, because it has something to do with that whole search engine analytics. There's a fancy word for it that just totally escaped my brain, but I know that you'll forgive me for that. But the algorithm, that's the word. The more listens, the more reviews, the more comments, the more it will be out there in podcast world. So please take a moment to just leave us a review. I would really appreciate that, as well as when you see us post this on social media, because every week I always post on our Justice for Orphans Facebook page and our Instagram page and my personal page. We always put a picture and a little post about what the show is about for each week, who the guest is, all of that. So share that, share it, like it, comment. That helps us also with all that algorithm stuff. So I would really appreciate it if you went and did that for us. And of course, let us know if you were encouraged by listening to this podcast, by reaching out to us on our social media. You can also email me, which is sandraflack, JFO@gmail.com. Check out our social media and our website to learn more about Justice for Orphans, which is justicefororphansny.org. Stay tuned to this podcast and our social media for news about the release of my book, Orphans No More, A Journey Back to the Father. It is coming in the new year, I promise. And thanks again for listening. I look forward to being with you next time right here on Orphans No More.
Thank you for listening to Orphans No More, for sharing what you've heard and praying for vulnerable children everywhere. We hope you are inspired to walk out James 1:27 in whatever way God calls you. For more information, visit justicefororphansny.org.